Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your live connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Good morning, everybody. Today is August 25th, 2014, and it is Monday, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, and you are listening live with In Touch Interviews. And today we have two wonderful guests, actually. Both of them are joining us from the Clinical Hypnosis Institute and the Clinical Hypnosis Professional Group, both Cheryl and Frank. And they are here to talk about hypnosis and what that involves and everything that they have to offer. So without further ado, I'd like to bring them onto the show. Hello, Cheryl and Frank.
Good morning.
Good morning, Courtney.
Good morning to you guys, too. You know, I was going over some of your guys' information this morning, and you guys offer a lot of services.
We certainly do.
Go ahead.
Just going to say, I just had a lady last week that came in to stop smoking, and she saw some of our CDs I had laid out. And said, wow, I didn't know that you offered anything besides smoking and weight loss. And I said, well, yes, Cheryl and I are both medical hypnotherapists, so we offer a whole range of complementary things that work with medical issues, such as childbirth, dental hypnosis, arthritis, irritable bowel syndrome, caring for the caregiver is a very important one. Relationships, test anxiety, relaxation, motivation, and the list goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
So we work everything from medical to metaphysical, so it's quite a wide range. And we enjoy working in all of those areas.
Now, talk about the difference. What is medical hypnosis versus metaphysical hypnosis?
Well, with metaphysical hypnosis, we get into past life regression and higher self work, spiritual hypnotherapy, in between life. With medical, with our school, after a person is certified in hypnotherapy, they can then go on for further training to be a medical hypnotherapist. And a medical hypnotherapist has extensive training in the medical applications of hypnosis and writing hypnosis programs for various conditions and illnesses that will actually complement standard medical procedures. So sometimes we work with people who are in hospital. We've helped people who've had knee replacements just with adapting to the new material put into their leg, the new pieces and parts, accepting them as part of self. We help people with range of motion for physical therapy. And a lot of our work we do is with cancer patients and helping them with pain management, adjusting to chemotherapy and radiation. Some people have a phobia regarding having MRIs or CT scans. And so we work with a wide range of therapies for hospital settings as well.
That's amazing. Now, most people don't really know what hypnosis is. Would you like to talk about what it actually is and what it can do for you?
Well, hypnosis is really quite simple. Most people, in fact, everybody, goes into a hypnotic state at one time or another. When you're driving down the road and your conscious mind is thinking about where you're going to go and what you're going to do when you get there, what you see, what you're thinking about, and you drive right past your exit on the freeway. That's classic highway hypnosis. But hypnosis, in a therapeutic sense, is simply a very deep state of relaxation and heightened focus and hypersuggestibility, which simply means that the more a person relaxes, the deeper that they go, the more open they are to accepting the suggestions we give them, so long as those suggestions are in line with their beliefs and values. So if we try to tell somebody to do something that is outside their beliefs and values, they simply wouldn't do it.
Okay. Well, that's very interesting because, you know, most people that I talk to about hypnosis, they're fearful because they're afraid that, you know, they're going to come out of hypnosis and, you know, do something that they wouldn't want to do or do something that is out of their comfort zone. So you're saying that if it's against, you know, their values and what they believe, then more than likely they won't go for the suggestion at all.
Absolutely. That's, for example, if our office is on the second floor of the Comerica building, and so if I were to say to somebody, I'm going to count to three, snap my fingers, you're going to wake up, go downstairs, and rob the bank, that's simply not going to happen.
Okay. Now, what about, I guess, how do you guys work your suggestions, or what is a session like for someone?
Well, usually the session begins with the first phone call. Someone will call and they will ask about our services and they're interested in hypnosis for, oh, let's say, self-esteem. Okay? So we explain with that first phone call what they can expect so that when they come into the office, they can feel more comfortable. So usually, you know, we'll ask them, you know, what it is that they want to improve on, you know, why it's important to them.
And what their life will be like once they have achieved that.
So when they come into the office, we actually can create specific suggestions tailored for each individual. So we truly are working as a team. We're working together, helping the client to achieve what they want after carefully listening. People really need to be heard. So we listen to what their needs are, what their goals are, and then we formulate hypnotic suggestion accordingly. The difference between the hypnosis that we do and just a guided meditation is very different. Because when we formulate hypnotic suggestion, we're using special words, special phrases that will have more impact on the subconscious mind. We include a lot of NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming, that will make the suggestion more effective. So a lot of careful thought goes into each process that we use, and we tailor that for each individual. Some people, for instance, with pain management may really prefer feelings of warmth. I have other clients that prefer feelings of cool comfort, and then other people who just want to feel, you know, an anesthetic numbness throughout. So it depends, and we can tailor that for each person.
But it's also,
I was just going to say, I think that's amazing.
What we also do a lot of times with pain management is we change the sensation. For example, if a person has a sharp burning pain, and maybe they need that pain because if we make it go away completely, maybe they forget that they've got an injury and then make it worse. So what we do is we might leave that pain in place but change the sensation from a sharp burning pain to maybe like little dull needles, blunt needles that are just little fingers that are just massaging the area. And once we do that, then they've still got a sensation, but it's more tolerable than the sharp burning pain that's there.
Now, if I came in for a session with you guys, what would I expect? What would that feel like for me?
Very relaxing. A way that I like to compare is it's in between being wide awake and asleep. You're aware of everything being said, yet you're relaxed at the same time. Do you ever wake up in the morning before your alarm clock rings?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You could get up if you had to, yet you're feeling so mellow. You just want to enjoy resting there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had that happen?
Yes, I have.
Okay, that's a very similar feeling. It's in between being awake and asleep, so you're aware of what's going on. Another good comparison is, have you ever had a massage?
I personally haven't, but I know a lot of people who have.
Okay, a lot of people who have a massage will say that they're really relaxed, yet they're aware of what's going on in the room. So with hypnosis, it's just a similar feeling because the brain waves are at the same level as when someone has a massage. You're in a light level of alpha to a deeper level of theta, and it's in between being wide awake and asleep. So it's a very normal state. People just aren't aware of the benefits of that state and how often they go into it. With hypnosis, we use that state to give the suggestions that are beneficial for each individual. So it's the hypnotic suggestion that really makes the difference between hypnosis and other modes of therapy and meditation.
Now, you... I find hypnosis so interesting. I've actually experienced it twice before as well. So I just want to let you guys know that your answers are wonderful. You're explaining this beautifully. A lot of people always question whether or not they can be hypnotized. You know, some people just feel like, oh, no, it could never work for me. You know, are there certain people that cannot be hypnotized at all?
Well, we all go through hypnosis every day. In the morning, we were talking about waking up before your alarm clock rings. At that level, you actually come up through the hypnopompic stage of hypnosis. And before going to bed to sleep, you pass through it again in reverse, where it's called the hypnagogic level. So we all go through it every day. The main thing is that the person wants to be hypnotized. You can't hypnotize anyone if they really don't want to be. So you truly are working as a team. So it's our job as the therapist to adapt our techniques to meet the client. And so we really work at building rapport and helping each individual feel comfortable even before they come into the office. It begins with that first phone call.
And we like to have a little fun with it, too. When a person comes into the office, we tell them that we would like to show them what it's like, what they can expect to experience. And we might have them close their eyes and hold their arms out in front of them and take a big deep breath, and when they exhale, just imagine in your left hand you're holding a button. You could do this with me now if you want to, Courtney. Just close your eyes and put your hands up in front of you, your arms extended out in front of you, and imagine that in your left hand you're holding a bucket. So close your hand around the handle. Oh, this is a very big bucket, and it's full of water. Now, around your right wrist, there's a string tied to a very large helium balloon. Just pulling your right arm up, and it's just getting lighter and lighter. And that big bucket full of water is getting heavier and heavier. And you probably notice the muscles in your left arm beginning to tire and shake a little bit, and your left arm is going down. And when you can imagine that, just open your eyes and look at your hands. What happened?
They're very far apart. One is, like, very low, and one is very high.
Did you feel like you were, quote-unquote, under hypnosis?
Not necessarily. I mean, I felt like I was still in control if I wanted to be.
Sure, exactly. Well, what you just experienced is hypnosis. What the mind agrees with, the body responds to, and it cannot not respond. And that's the bottom line.
And I think, like I said, I think that's amazing. And I think what you guys are doing with amazing, especially because you guys are, like I said in the beginning of the show, you guys offer so many different services and ways to help people. You know, I'm kind of curious about, the pain. You talked a little bit about pain relief. How do sessions like that kind of work? And have you been very successful with it? Does it take more than one session? How does something like that work? Because I know a lot of people out there who suffer with different types of pain.
Sure. I used to live in Australia. I lived over there for close to 15 years, and I had a regular radio show that will simulcast to three different states, actually. And I did that radio show every Sunday night for about 10 years. And I had a lady call in one night. Well, there was the lady that was running the board for me had just been to the dentist, and she was having some pain in her jaw. And as I was talking her through the process, she said, wow, that's really tremendous. The pain is actually gone. And the phone rang, and it was a caller that called in and said, you know, she had been in a car accident several years ago, and she was confined to a wheelchair and had very severe low back pain, and she just wanted to thank us because she went through, she was doing the same thing that I was asking the lady running the soundboard to do with her toothache, and the lady with the backache that called in said her backache was gone, and she just couldn't thank us enough. So that was it's a tremendous thing to do to be able to help people like that.
Wow. Now, we actually have somebody who is listening in chat today, and they're very interested in past life hypnosis. Can you talk a little bit about that and how that would work?
Sure. That's one of the topics that we teach with our state licensed school. Absolutely. With past life, it depends on the purpose. Some people will do past life merely as a group workshop because it's a fun thing to see who you are and you know what role you played in a past life. So there's really two ways of doing past life. Some people will come in for a private session for past life regression as well. And oftentimes we will do analytical hypnosis and we will have someone who comes in with a specific issue that they want to resolve. And perhaps, for instance, I had one woman who came in and she had a lump in her left breast. And she wanted me to do some analytical hypnosis because she really felt it was a past life. When I begin this work, I don't specifically say, well, let's go to the cause of the problem because it's a past life. The subconscious mind knows exactly where that problem began. And sometimes if I say, let's go to a past life, I may have missed the boat because it could have been in between life or it could have been this lifetime. With this particular lady, I asked the inner mind to guide us to the cause of the problem, and she went back to being in a tribe in ancient times, and they were fighting another tribe, and they had spears. And one of the enemies had speared this person in a heart. Well, in the past life, she was playing the part of a male and a very tall warrior. So what happened was realizing that, you know, in this past life she was speared, and she was speared in the heart, realizing that, okay, the heart is really more to the left than in the middle, as we sometimes think when we think of the chakras in the heart center. The heart is actually more to the left, and it was her left breast that was affected now. So what we did is I asked the angels and the healers of light to remove that spear and to heal that area where the spear was, releasing and clearing all of the shock and all of the trauma from the body, the mind, the emotions, the spirit, releasing and clearing it etherically from the etheric body as well as the physical body, and releasing it and clearing it through all time and space. also releasing and clearing any energetic stains that may have been associated with that. She was due to go in for another test. They were going to do an ultrasound and aspirate the lump. When she went back to have that done, the lump was gone.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's amazing. A lot of amazing things can happen using past life that way. So you can actually go to the cause of a problem, and if it is a past life, you have that opportunity to release and clear it at that level. So there's many ways of working with it, be that you want to use it for entertainment and just for fun, find out who you were, what you did, or actually use it, you know, as a resource to go back to the cause of a problem.
And can I just add to that we get calls all the time, people want to do a past life regression, and the first thing we ask them is, why do you want to do it? Because we can take a person and straight into a past life 10 different times, and they might go into 10 different past lives. There's no guarantee when you just say, okay, we're going to go into a past life. If a person is looking for therapy, there are different processes. As Cheryl mentioned, her analytical hypnosis is a great way to do that, because we're asking the person just simply to go back to the cause of that problem. We're not asking them to go into a past life and then find the problem. So we also have another process called subconscious mind healing, where we ask the person just simply to want you to go back to the original feeling cause of that problem and ask yourself, is it serving a worthwhile purpose now? And we're making them an offer they can't refuse. You know, they have to admit that the problem really is not serving a worthwhile purpose, unless we find a person who is going there for secondary gains. Like, if I have the pain, I don't have to work, and then I can stay home. So I need to have that pain. So that person, it's highly unlikely that hypnosis is going to be successful, because they do have secondary gains.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. That makes sense. And I find it interesting that you guys actually, you know, ask why they want to see their past lives and so forth. Have you, I guess, and you guys don't have to answer this question if you don't want to, have you ever had somebody who had a very, very tragic past life or one that was very overwhelming for them during hypnosis?
Sure, that can happen. When we do past life for the purpose of just finding out information or experiencing it, when I'm not doing analytical work, I'm very careful, and so is Frank, that we take someone to a pleasant past life. You really have to preface it with a happy past life, a pleasant past life, or a past life where perhaps they had a talent that they want to bring back. Sometimes with analytical hypnosis, they will go back to something that was very tragic, where perhaps they were in a building that crashed, okay, where they may even still feel that they're underneath the bricks in the rubble of the building. So you have to be skilled in knowing how to guide the person through that, okay? It's very, very important. So that you can have them dissociate, see it from a distance, and be free of any of the pain or discomfort they were feeling. When some people go back into a past life, they're right there. They are in that body. For other people, it's like watching it on a movie. They're here with you in the room. They're aware of everything going on, yet it's like they're in both time-space coordinates at the same time.
Wow.
And for some people, you guide them to a past life, and they may only see colors or swirls. They might not get the picture like some people do, or they might get images or symbols. So what we really need to be mindful of, that wherever each person is guided, that's perfect for them. And it's our job to adapt our techniques to meet our client.
That's also why we're mindful of asking the person, do they want to do past life for fun or do they want to do it for therapy? Because there's two entirely different approaches as to which way we go with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I just have one more question about past lives before we move on. You guys talked about, you know, the woman with the spear and that helping with her health issue at that point in time. How do you guys determine whether or not a health issue could be possibly past life related or if it's a current medical issue?
Well, we don't have to. When you guide the subconscious mind to take us to the cause of the problem, if it's past life, the person will have that information of a past life. If it's not, if it's something more current, this lifetime, then they will be aware of that. And we're very careful. We use discernment with who is willing to go to the past life, who has that belief. It's important to be mindful, what is the person really calling you for? Do they just want some pain relief? Do they just want to work with anxiety associated with the diagnosis of that illness, with what all they're going through? Or do they have the belief that hypnoanalysis can take them to the cause of that and release it and clear it? So it's really important for us as hypnotherapists to hear, to listen, to be mindful of what is it that our client really wants.
Again, the really important thing with that is that both with the analytical hypnosis and the subconscious mind healing, we ask the mind to take us where they need to go. So the subconscious will determine whether they need to go to a past life or whether they need to go to an issue that happened in this life. And then whether or not it's possible to clear that issue. We don't tell them to clear that issue. We will ask them, is it okay to clear that issue, or is it serving a worthwhile purpose, or would it be okay to simply let that go? So that's the big thing again with past life is that we don't have to purposely do a past life regression when we're working with therapy and a medical issue. We can simply ask the person to go where they need to go and they will.
I find that very interesting. I will definitely have to keep that in mind. With hypnosis, how often is it recommended? You know, can you get a session every day, every week? Should it be a monthly thing? You know, is there a level that too much is too much?
We generally see people once a week, and some people it's two sessions, some people it's six sessions. So you know, it just everybody's different.
And sometimes if we have people travel from out of state, they might come in and they have a few days. We might do two or three sessions back to back. We also send people home with a hypnosis CD so that they can listen to that CD at bedtime, and it reinforces what we do in the office. So I personally listen to a hypnosis CD every night at bedtime, and it helps me to sleep.
The interesting thing about that is that it's the conscious mind that sleeps. The subconscious mind never sleeps. It's always here, and it can always hear everything that's being said. So even though a person may be sound asleep, if the CD is playing in the background, softly, of course, the subconscious mind will pick up everything that's being said. And that's the real beauty of it. We make our own CDs, and we have probably close to 100 different titles to deal with virtually every issue you can think of. And if we don't have one that we can think of, then Cheryl generally will make one on the spot.
You know, this came up years ago, but and maybe you could talk about this. I've been hypnotized twice now. Once for sadly quitting smoking, but when I went through the hypnosis to quit smoking, one of the things that I remember him telling me is that every time I felt the urge to smoke, I had to see myself older and, you know, what I would look like and what my health would be like because I had continued to smoke and so forth. And then the other thing that he tried telling me as well is that every time I would see the color red, it would kind of be a reminder of, you know, to stop myself to not smoke as well. Are those normal kind of suggestions?
Yes. We don't use that sort of thing generally.
It's aversion.
A lot of that comes under the heading of aversion therapy that was really popular back in the 50s and 60s, but has long since gone out of style. So we generally don't use that sort of thing.
We find that NLP is way more effective, using carefully worded suggestion. For instance, the subconscious doesn't really understand the word no or not. So we're very careful in how we word our suggestion with hypnosis. When we have a client come in for stopping smoking, we ask them why they want to quit smoking, why is it important to them, and what purpose did it serve for them. For many people, smoking ends up being a coping tool. And so if the subconscious mind thinks it's helping you by giving you that coping tool to help you with the stress that's going on, it's going to work overtime to keep that habit because the subconscious is way more powerful than the conscious mind. So our job is to help you by giving you different coping tools as well as the hypnosis for stopping smoking. Our program is very effective. We have, I would say, over 95% success rate because we address that. We address everything that we can so that the person can be successful. So we teach all of our clients on session two self-hypnosis so that they can go into a deep, relaxed level in a matter of seconds. And if they take just 3 minutes or 5 minutes during the daytime, it's like having a midday power nap, and it is the best stress release you can have. So no matter what we work with, whatever topic, we teach all of our clients self-hypnosis on session two because they're better conditioned after session one to learn it.
The thing about that is that most people don't realize that any time you're feeling stress of any kind or anxiety of any kind, which is another form of stress, every blood vessel in your body constricts, which means that you have a reduced amount of oxygen, nutrients, et cetera, going to the brain. You cannot think clearly. Your brain cannot function at 100% when you're stressed or anxious. So if a person, let's say, for example, has a very stressful job, all they have to do is the system that we teach, it takes us 10 minutes to teach them how to do it, and then they can get into a very relaxed state as quickly as they can exhale one breath. And that's a really nice way for all of the blood vessels then to open up and get that blood flow going back to the brain so they can think at 100%. Years ago, I had a friend who had a very high-ranking black belt in one of the martial arts. And I used to go out of my way to try to make him mad. And he would just laugh and say, "Give it up, Frank. You cannot make me mad." Because he knew that if he got mad, he would lose his focus and he would lose his 100% brain function, which meant that he probably would not win the contest. So that's a real sort of graphic illustration of why it's important to learn how to quickly de-stress anytime you're feeling stress or anxiety.
I think you bring up a very valid point because there's a lot of people out there that have a lot of anxiety or stress. You know, it's one of those things that everybody deals with on some level. And I think that's pretty amazing that you guys teach in the second session how to do that for themselves.
We also do that for our people with pain management. When someone comes in for pain management, we do hypnosis on the first session. We send them home with the CD so that they can have that relief at home. But with the second session, we teach self-hypnosis, and then we teach them some of the tools that they can use at home without needing to listen to a CD. So our goal then is to empower them so that they have some tools that they can readily use.
We often have clients come in the evening, let's say 5 o'clock or so. They come in, and they don't tell us they've got a headache, or they don't tell us they've got a pain in their shoulder or their hip or whatever it happens to be. And when we finish with the hypnosis, they will immediately say, wow, when I came in, I had a headache or a shoulder ache or whatever it was, but it's now gone. So just the fact that they do the hypnosis relaxes them, and they can then see the benefit of going into a deeply relaxed state very quickly, because that relaxation all by itself, without even mentioning pain, will oftentimes get rid of it.
Well, I think it's interesting because most people have the wrong conception of what hypnosis is and what it can do for you. Like the smoking situation that I went through, I've had a lot of people who've told me that the reason why they don't care for hypnosis is because they feel like, you know, the suggestions weren't right or wouldn't work for them, or they felt more guilt than anything else, so they just chose never to experience hypnosis again. I think that it's really amazing that you're not only doing that for them, but you're also teaching them how to do it for themselves. It kind of takes away that fear more than anything.
Well, it does, and that's a lot of what we do is simply education, because like you said, most people just simply do not understand. A lot of people will say, well, their other fear is that somehow or another we're going to be controlling them. Well, far from it. We are not controlling them at all. They're in charge of the session, not us. People will say, well, I went to a stage hypnosis show and I saw the hypnotist told them to bark like a dog, and they did. Well, that's because, number one, they went there to have fun, and number two, barking like a dog is not contrary to their beliefs and values. So they're quite happy to respond to that. So that's what people do on the stage, and what people do in a therapeutic setting in clinical hypnosis is very, very different. And I can say that because I am also a professional stage hypnotist.
Now, let's talk a little bit about your guys' office and what you guys offer. First of all, where is your office located for those that are interested in seeking you out?
We're in Warren on Van Dyke. We're in the Comerica Bank building, and the address is 30500 Van Dyke. The zip code is 48093, and we're in suite 203.
That's right
go ahead.
I was going to say that's right across the street from the GM Tech Center.
Now, you guys offer private sessions, and you've talked a lot about private sessions today, and you did mention a little bit about workshops. What other types of sessions do you guys offer, or, what workshops do you guys have coming up, or lectures?
Okay, well, this Thursday evening, we have a workshop all about color healing. And it is at the Comerica building. It's Thursday from 6:30 till 8:30. It's in the basement level classroom, but people do need to pre-register so that we know how many manuals to have printed. So people can call us at 586-751-7500. And so we do have workshops, just for the general public that aren't hypnosis. Frank has a very strong background in parapsychology. He used to teach it in Australia. He had a 2-year course. So we teach everything from color healing, including some of the metaphysical aspects, as well as more of the scientific aspects. Last Friday, we taught a class on psychic protection. And that also was in our classroom at the Comerica building. So we teach everything from a wide range of medical hypnosis to the metaphysical and parapsychology. September 28th, we begin our new series of classes that lead to certification as a hypnotherapist. So it's on a Sunday, September 28th. There are 15 class days that are held on the second and fourth weekend of each month from 9 to 5. Our school is state licensed, and we really have to meet very strict criteria, be bonded, be accountable. Our courses had to be approved by the state of Michigan. And after completing the Module 1, which is basic hypnosis, Module 2 is advanced, Module 3 is analytical, after completing all three courses, the person is then certified in hypnosis. Once they're certified, they can then apply for their professional liability insurance, actually through Lockton Insurance Company, through one of our websites.
Okay. I did want to mention again, if someone is interested in contacting you, they can give you a call at 586-751-7500.
That's right.
And then you guys have two websites, clinicalhypnosisinstitute.com, and I saw medicalhypnosismichigan.com. Are both of those correct as well?
Yes, and there's an additional one that we have for our professional group. Frank and I facilitate the clinical hypnosis professional group. And this is for people who are already certified in hypnosis. We have people from different schools that attend our group meetings. And these meetings are always on the first Saturday of each month, also in the same building, the Comerica building. Each month we have a different topic, and we present a manual on that topic. So some topics might be on medical issues, such as irritable bowel syndrome or perhaps habit modification like hair pulling, nail biting, or they might be on something metaphysical like spiritual hypnotherapy or higher self hypnotherapy. Once a person is a member of our group, we offer free mentoring, free phone consultation, or through email, so they always have that available to them. Some people might have a client come in with a topic they've never worked on before, and so we, either Frank or I, are here to guide or mentor them with that. So the program site is clinicalhypnosispro.group.com. And we also have a hypnotist directory on that site. If people are looking for a hypnotist in their area, they can go on that site as well. We also do Skype sessions, and that's fascinating. I've actually done a Skype session with a man in England.
Scotland, Australia.
Yeah, we've done Skype together, actually, with someone in Australia. And recently Virginia, so Skype sessions are also another availability.
Now, no offense, do they work just as well? I mean, some people, you know, I know that people would probably have the idea of, well, if it's not in person, how does that work?
Well, Here's an example. I had a woman call me a couple months ago who had test anxiety, and she had a test she had to take in 2 days, but she lived, probably 3 hours from us, right? So it just wasn't feasible for my schedule to open up for her in 2 days and for her to be able to take the time to come down. And so for her, that Skype session worked very well. In fact, she's since referred other people in her class. We also have people, of course, up in Australia, you know, so, and we've had excellent results.
Now, I have to ask, and I think I should have probably asked this in the beginning of the radio interview, but we've covered so many different things, and I think the listeners out there are really enjoying what you're putting out there. How did both of you guys get introduced to hypnosis? So what encouraged you to learn more about it?
Well, I actually had anxiety and panic attacks over 30 years ago. And if someone would have told me back then that this would be my career, I would say no way. I didn't know what hypnosis was. I didn't know who those people were that did it. But nothing else worked for me. So I went to a hypnotist, and one thing led to another. And doors kept opening. After I became certified, I was asked to teach. I facilitated. I mentored. I worked for several other schools of hypnosis, and doors kept opening. And it certainly is a passion. It's what I know is my soul's purpose. And I absolutely love doing it. It's wonderful to have a career that doesn't feel like a job. You know, so you begin working more and more. I first started working out with smoking, weight, and stress. I always had a strong spiritual core, and I love doing the higher self and the spiritual hypnosis. So between Frank and I, we have over 40-some years of background with hypnosis.
And that's not 40 years added together.
You're older.
Well, that's
just, older.
I have over 40 years myself. And I got into it because when I was 12 years old, I saw a stage hypnotist give a lady an onion. He told her it was a delicious apple, and she was munching away on this onion, and she did not even have the smell of onion on her breath because what the mind agrees with, the body responds to, and it cannot not respond. I've always felt that, even after I saw that program, I felt that there were a lot more applications to hypnosis than entertainment. And I've always been fascinated with the power of the subconscious mind. So in 1970, I read the book Psycho-Cybernetics by Maxwell Maltz, who was a plastic surgeon. And that was my beginnings of really getting serious about hypnosis. And I've been studying it. I've taken all kinds of courses. I took courses in Australia. I've taken courses in America. And it's just been a never-ending source of fascination to me. So I met Cheryl in 2000. And in 1998, we both belonged to we were on the board of directors of a major hypnosis group. And we didn't meet each other in 1998, but we did meet at the conference in 2000. And that's sort of history ever since.
Oh, you guys sound like you work very well together. The other thing that I was going to ask you is there anything else you would like to share about what you do or anything else that you would like to tell our listeners about hypnosis that maybe they're not aware of?
Well, hypnosis is something that a lot of people fear, and that there is nothing fearful about it. And a lot of people that come into the office have some very serious concerns about whether or not they can be hypnotized. And usually just doing that little exercise I did with you with holding your arms out and imagining the bucket in one hand and the balloon in the other, that's what we call a conscious convincer. And it lets the people know that, yeah, they could hear everything that was going on, they remembered what was going on, and yet they responded to the suggestions that we gave them. So that's basically what we do is education, helping people understand. Hypnosis is not something that just happens with a stage hypnotist. It's not something that is a Svengali type of a thing. There are some really serious applications with hypnosis. It was approved by the British Medical Association in 1955 and recommended for medical people to learn and get serious about using hypnosis. Back in the middle 1800s, there was a doctor in India who used hypnosis for doing deep abdominal surgery. And the abdominal surgery is probably one of the most painful kinds there is. But he used that very successfully. And then, of course, along came ether and various and sundry drugs. So when that became available, they didn't really need to learn hypnosis. But hypnosis has made great strides. And as Cheryl was saying earlier, the use of neuro-linguistic programming is something that we got from Dr. Milton Erickson, was a psychiatrist who actually got his degree from the University of Michigan. And he was so successful in the way that he worked with people that several psychologists were studying his word patterns, and that was the beginning of neuro-linguistic programming. And modern hypnosis is nothing like what people see on television. The old watch the pendulum, whatever have you. But it has been so successful that the biggest user of hypnosis in the world today is actually the advertising industry. Anytime you hear them say, just imagine what it would be like to smell that beautiful, juicy, flame broiled, da-da-da-da-da, and you get the saliva welling up in your mouth, that's hypnosis. People don't realize that, but it is. And that's how it works. So
there's so many different ways of working with hypnosis. It's fascinating. I really love working with the spiritual hypnotherapy, and I find that we can cut through time. We can really resolve a lot of issues a lot quicker when we work with the higher self and when we work in a spiritual way. Clients have reported that major problems were resolved in just a few sessions. So there's so many different uses for it, and it's unique to each client. Different people will gravitate towards different types of hypnotherapy. So it's important to know what your client is looking for, what your client wants, and to be able to adapt our techniques accordingly.
I was just going to say one of the things that people fear with hypnosis, especially if they have a strong religious background, is that somehow or another it might conflict with their religion. I did 2 years of religious philosophy in college, and I can tell you categorically there is no conflict between religion and hypnosis.
That's interesting. I actually haven't heard that one before. I'll have to keep that one in mind. The other one quick question, because we are starting to run a little low on time, cost-wise. I know some people feel like if they go for hypnosis, it's going to cost them like $300 a session. Is hypnosis affordable?
Yes, it depends on different hypnotists will charge different prices depending on the area. We charge $95 for each session. Our sessions last for an hour and a half. So they're a little longer than the traditional therapy type of session, which is about an hour. So for an hour and a half, we charge $95, and we supply the client with whatever CDs we feel are necessary for them, and that's included in the session. So there's no additional fee for that.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. It was wonderful being able to speak with both of you, and you guys definitely gave out a lot of information and gave our listeners a lot of information about hypnosis. You guys should be very proud of yourselves because it sounds like you guys do some amazing work and really help people in the community with, you know, pain and what they're going through. So thank you so much for that. Is there any final words you would like to leave us with today?
Thank you, Courtney, for inviting us.
Thank you for being such a wonderful interviewer. You really made this a very, very nice experience for us as well.
Well, thank you so much for joining me, and I wish both of you guys the best of luck.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Courtney.
If you're listening live, you've been listening live with In Touch Interviews with the Hypnosis Institute. And I would just want to give out their information one more time. You can contact them online through their website, clinicalhypnosisinstitute.com, or you can go to medicalhypnosismichigan.com. You can also give them a call. Their phone number is 586-751-7500, and their office is on Van Dyke in Warren, Michigan. And I just want to thank Frank and Cheryl again for being here today. If you're ever interested in being interviewed on In Touch Interviews through Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, please give us a call at the office at 734-513-6137, or you can email me at radio@bodymindspiritguide.com. I want to wish everybody a happy Monday and have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.